Well, monthly we talk to those from class. Grand Valley's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences doing great things under the umbrella, under the Dean Fred Anzac leadership. And my next guest serves, her role as associate professor. Her field of study, it's hard to pronounce some of these terms, combinatorics, Rook polynomials, number theory, and more. So let's have you do such that. I am pleased to introduce you, Dr. Ferial Oliont, on behalf of How You Spend Your Day. Good morning to you. Yes, all right. We always like to put the spotlight on you and learn a little bit about what brings you to Grand Valley. Take it away with a little bit about you.
I have 1 year younger brother who was so excited about learning that he had to get excited. Well, he had to learn the ABCs and the math alongside me, so that was my first teaching experience at age 5. And my love of math, though, that comes mainly from my dad. We had this evening routine where he'd come home and he'd have a puzzle for me in math or logic puzzle or a problem, and I'd work hard to figure it out. Well, then there was this one puzzle, though, which involved an unknown number of birds on a tree. And I tried and tried and tried, couldn't solve it unless you allowed half a bird. So I tried to convince my dad that, Dad, your puzzle really doesn't have a solution because it's like you can't have a half bird. And then he kept pushing me. Did you try all numbers? I'm like, Dad, no, of course I didn't try all numbers. There are infinitely many of them. And he wasn't convinced. So he's like, well, what if one of the numbers work? So in middle school, my favorite middle school high school teacher introduced the variable X. I was beyond ecstatic because I said, I finally have the tool to solve my dad's puzzle, the variable. So I went home, explained to my dad how his puzzle didn't have a solution. He was proud of me. And I later realized, well, yeah, he of course knew what the variable was. He just wanted me to find the solution on my own. So that fueled my love and passion in math, and I continued in that direction. Of course, I became a math major in college.
Yes, where did you go to college?
That was in Turkey, Bilkent University, my favorite place. So I found a new math tribe there. I had these two wonderful colleagues. They and I kind of jointly worked together, worked on problems, trying to figure out these abstract, higher-level mathematical concepts. I said, I really want to combine these two, math and teaching, and ended up here at University of Minnesota for my PhD. And after my PhD, I was at University of Arizona, Tucson, for a three-year postdoctoral position where I really honed my teaching skills. And then at Grand Valley. I've been here since 2006.
We'll do the math. That's 10 years. You got a 10-year pin. Congratulations. You recently won the Pew Teaching Excellence Award, not because of you, but because of the way that you teach. So describe this. Let's toot your horn.
So my experiences growing up with that passion of math helped me keep persisting through the struggle times. Well, in middle school and high school, things were a little tougher. Well, I lost my support system because my brother was now at a boarding school, so I didn't have him to kind of teach things to help me make sense of things. And then my dad and my mom, well, the topics were just like too hard for them to make it easy for me to understand. So I was just like, okay, but I persisted that because of that passion that my dad instilled in me. So I said, I need to give something like that to my students. So when I started teaching as a teaching assistant at University of Minnesota, yes, I focused on building community in my classroom. So it's a collaborative process. And I tried to make math meaningful to them. So it's not just formulas. It's not like some X's and Y's.
Which is very typical, how a lot of us learned, right?
Yeah. Well, for me, the X made sense because that was the tool to solve my dad's puzzle. So I bring in those problems to make things meaningful. And like I start with those problems and then help my students, guide my students to solve the problems with the help of math that they're learning. And then there's also the fun. It's like math is supposed to be fun. It's joyful, really. There's beauty in math. There's joy in math. And I try to discover those in my classroom. We actually, in the department, we are very active learning based. And I learned a lot from my colleagues, learned a lot from reading on research and teaching and learning of mathematics, or in general, teaching and learning. And I now know that it's kind of discovery-based learning approach is the one which really makes sense. For our students to go into the job world, yes, they're not going to have a manual of, here is your problem, and this is how you solve it. Well, they will be solving problems that I have no idea about. So how do you teach those students? Well, you teach them the creative problem-solving process. You don't teach them procedures. Like, yeah, there's procedures, of course, but we help them discover those procedures. I was just recently reminded by the quote by Saint-Exupéry, the author of The Little Prince, one of my favorite books. And
did you bring it with you?
Yes.
Okay, go get it, go get it. We are talking about class, and who was described as one with wonderful enthusiasm, and you're hearing that now. One of the professors, assistant professors in the class, in the field of mathematics, Dr. Beryl Oleant. All right, so what is that?
So the quote goes, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. So my problem serve, hopefully in my mind, is the sea. I give my students the problems and they yearn to solve those puzzles, problems, and learn the how to collect wood and the tasks on the way there.
What do you teach? Are these math majors? Are these students taking a first year of class in college?
They could be anybody. We have service courses in the math department, which serve engineering and science fields, or anybody who wants to take a calculus course or algebra course. I don't usually teach the lower level courses because that's not really my expertise. I go in the higher level courses, calculus and above. That's what I tell people. And as soon as I say that, they go, "Oh, calculus."
But that's what you want to dispel, right? You want to, one, to sign up for a CAC. One of the questions I'm supposed to ask you is, "What is it like to take a class from you?" And you're giving me the answer. We're thinking out of the box, right?
Yes, certainly. And the reason why I ended up at college versus high school teaching is because I initially wanted to be a high school teacher. I just didn't know that the university I went to didn't really have a high school teaching program. But that's the, I was a little clueless.
Well, that's clueless with a little C. Keep going, yes.
So then when I discovered I really liked the higher level mathematics, the abstract mathematics, and there's so much more fun things that I can do with them, then I said, okay, high school teaching, yeah, I can make that fun too, but I think I can make college level teaching more fun. So in one of my classes this semester, we actually started up cutting Möbius strips. And if you've never heard of that term, that's a one side, one edge object, which does really miraculous things, magical things when you cut it up. So my students started out the semester by cutting those up, and they were all going, what's going on? So there's the puzzle to get them going, and then the mathematics to solve the puzzle.
How are we doing with female numbers in your class?
That's actually very strange, because normally higher-level mathematics classes, students don't tend to be very interested in them if they're females. Or maybe in general, in the U.S. But our department is just the other way around. We have so many more female math majors who want to go into graduate school, who want to do research. And I'm thinking, we're doing something wrong. Wait, maybe we're doing something right, whatever it is. And we have really good role models in our department. Our current department head, Karen Novotny, is a female professor, and she is well-liked by students. And everybody looks up to her, and I think we have three other female faculty members.
Just a couple minutes left. See how fun it goes, how quick it goes? What is Rook polynomials, number theory, automorphic forms, L functions? These are all your fields of study?
Yes, I did my PhD in number theory and automorphic L functions. And I tell people, well, think about prime numbers. Those are numbers which have only divisors 1 and themselves. Well, there is no pattern for them. Even numbers you can say 2, 4, 6, 8. those which end with those numbers, you can determine if they're even or not. But prime numbers, you can't just look at the number and say, oh, I think I'm 100% sure that's prime. You have to do a lot more work. So what's the structure of those prime numbers? So my PhD field was my initial PhD field was related to that question. And my current research, though, which is a little bit more easy for involving undergraduate students in, is in rook polynomials. Consider the chess piece rook. It attacks along rows and columns. Well, how many rooks can you place on a chessboard in such a way that they don't attack each other? Okay, well, I can place one per row, one per column, so I can place eight of them. But then you have to be careful because you can't place them randomly. So we look at those configurations. Well, the two-dimensional case is done. So one of my students came to me one day and said, what if the rooks can fly? That's a very good question. I don't know what
happened. And we'll have to let you talk to Dr. Lint on the end of that conversation. Always a pleasure to speak with professors in our own backyard. I'm Shelley Irwin. Thank you again for listening, and we'll speak again tomorrow.